We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is the ClimateCast, when we talk about the science and policy of climate change. Today, what the candidates for president are saying about the science and policy of the warming world. Coral Davenport has been writing about it for the New York Times, and she joins us this morning from New York City. Coral, welcome. Good to have you back on the show.
Hi, Carrie. It's great to be with you.
You point out that there was a time when Democrats and their campaign advisors didn't want candidates to go anywhere near this issue. Why?
Well, the particular time was Pretty much, every presidential campaign until this one, if you look at the 2012 campaign, President Obama never talked about this issue. And part of the reason is that his political advisors said this is absolutely a campaign loser. It's an electoral loser. It's not an issue that voters care about. And there's tremendous risk in talking about it, because if you talk about the problem of climate change, then you start talking about the solutions, which means taxing carbon regulations, carbon emissions, regulating sort of big economic changes. And none of that is perceived as selling well to the populace. So the calculation for the Obama campaign in 2012 is just, don't even talk about it.
Yeah. So the chicken and egg question here, is it the voters that have brought the candidates along, or the candidates that have brought the voters along?
It's a couple of things. Polls show that a larger number of Americans accept the established science of human-caused climate change than we've ever seen, and larger numbers of Americans also now support climate policy. So, you know, the same, it's really kind of the same political advisors who look at, who sort of think about framing messages based on polls, or looking at these polls and saying, well, now this can be, it looks like this is a safer, you know, a much better issue for us. When you break down the polls even more, you see particularly that this is an issue that resonates very much for millennial voters.
So how is that affecting the way they talk about it?
That has a really big impact on the way the candidates, certainly the Democrats, are talking about it. Political operatives and strategists are saying, really, you know, for whoever wants to, you know, hold on and secure the White House in the future, they've got to attract votes from millennials. Polls show consistently that this is an issue that millennials, a majority of millennials in both parties and independents, say they accept the established science, that they would support candidates who put forth solutions, and they also prioritize it more highly than older voters. And so some of this is really a matter of political strategists looking at the numbers and saying, okay, we see that this polls well in a group that we need to win. That is absolutely one of the reasons we see this issue being talked about, again, certainly by the Democrats, in a much more high-profile way than we've ever seen in any presidential race.
One of the things that I find puzzling about where the GOP, where the political class is on this, is it's obvious that business has already factored in the potential cost of climate change, and they're making their budgets around that and making their preparations for the way this is going to affect companies. The GOP still says the kinds of things that Donald Trump said on Fox News last year. Listen to this.
I think that there'll be little change here. It'll go up. It'll get a little cooler. It'll get a little warmer, like it always has for millions of years. It'll get cooler. It'll get warmer. It's called weather.
Trump says it's a hoax, and yet, as I point out, the business community is factoring the cost of it in. How do you explain that juxtaposition?
First of all, it's important to note, Donald Trump is a unique candidate in many ways. And clearly, this is one issue in, like so many others, where there is appears to be a pretty deepening divide between what the candidate says and where a lot of the party establishment is. Donald Trump has gone much further than any Republican presidential candidate in outright denying the science of climate change. That's no presidential candidate, GOP presidential candidate, has ever done that. Mitt Romney did not do that. John McCain, when he ran for president, campaigned on basically the exact same climate change proposals as Obama. It's real. It's a problem. We need to do cap and trade. Within the rest of the Republican establishment, there is sort of a sense, as on immigration, that climate change may be an issue that they need to revisit if they want to attract voters in the long term. You don't necessarily hear a huge change in rhetoric from a lot of elected lawmakers, but you do in the political strategist class. They are looking at these polls. They are saying, they are seeing that if they want to attract and hold voters under 40, they're going to have to figure out how to talk about this. One of the things the polls show is for a lot of Republican voters and independents, climate change might not be a voting issue. It might not be, the reason that they vote one way or the other, but polls show, and we at the New York Times did a poll that found this, that when a candidate sort of speaks with that rhetoric of outright science denial about climate change, a lot of independent voters, a lot of millennial voters will listen to that and say, well, that candidate sounds really out of touch.
Wow.
Climate change might not be my number one voting issue. Usually it's, economic issues.
Right.
But when I hear that's sort of a flag that sends a signal that turns me away from the candidate. I have talked to a number of Republican strategists who have said, that can't be kind of part of our long-term strategy going forward. And they're really thinking about, well, how do we, on many issues, many policy issues, how do we, reframe what we're doing as a party in the post-Trump era? And so again, that they're sort of looking at what Trump is saying on that, as on so many other things, and saying that might not represent what the future of the Republican Party looks like.
Coral, I was wondering if you were at one of these presidential debates that are coming up in the fall, what's the key question about climate change that you'd ask? By the way, I hope there are questions asked about climate change, but who knows? So you're sitting on the panel. What would you ask?
I would, if I were the questioner, I would sort of, succinctly state the established scientific consensus on human-caused climate change and ask each candidate to lay out exactly what they would do about it. Hillary Clinton has put out some pretty detailed plans. A follow-up question that I would ask for her is, every mainstream economist who studies this issue says that, the clearest and most effective way to address this is to put a price or tax on carbon.
Right.
Would you do that? Her campaign has assiduously tried to avoid saying that, because that is the one policy that really seems very inflammatory. People hear carbon price, carbon tax, and they hear energy tax, rightly so. So I would probably press her on that. If you're going to do something on climate change, would you do this? And, for Donald Trump, the question would, his position is that this problem isn't real. So
right.
That would be a moment for him to state on the national stage that he disagrees with a scientific consensus that the president of the National Academy of Sciences told me is actually stronger than the existing scientific consensus that smoking cigarettes is linked to lung cancer. So, probably just put him on the record, firmly saying that.
Coral Davenport is a reporter for The New York Times, and she's been writing about politics and climate change. Coral, thanks.
Great. Thanks so much. It's great to be with you, Carrie.